The importance then of this antiquity of Europe and a long, long past must be recognized, and it's the past chiefly of the goddess. So that the basic mythologies of the European consciousness are those of the goddess, even pre-Bronze Age, from almost pre-ceramic Neolithic, and then the later Bronze Age. In Cornwall, there were tin mines. In Ireland, there was gold floating free in the River Liffey so that you could pan for gold. Wherever there was tin in the Bronze Age, there would be an important exploiting colony, because tin was an important ingredient of bronze, and it is not found in very, very many places. And so from an early time, that Irish Sea area, Dublin and Wales and Cornwall, the Isle of Man, and Western Scotland, was a kind of matrix of civilized living. This is the background of the Celtic mythologies, and is the background also of the prominence and power of the goddess figure in these mythologies. Our fairy godmothers, for instance, are reflexes of all that. Then it's in about the first millennium BC, let's say about from about 1000 BC, that we begin to have coming into this realm of the British Isles and Western France, the Celts. Now the Celts are Indo-European people. The Indo-Europeans have their beginning in the southwest Russian steppe lands, north of the Black Sea. They're called now the Kurgan people, Kurgan being a Russian name for the mound burial. And these mound burials, which are the mound burials of warrior chieftains, they are the characteristic symptoms of the extent and period of the Indo-European early diffusions. They're diffusing, or they're extending from in two directions from that area, one southeastward and the other southwestward. Southeastward, they go into India as the Indo-Europeans, the Vedic people, with the warrior chieftains and their cattle herds. These are the people who had mastered the horse and became thereby almost invincible. I mean, the horse and the war chariot were the counterparts of the atom bomb today. You just can't do anything about it. They override and overrun and take charge. At the same time, this chariot goes all the way into China. And the first Chinese dynasty, the Shang Dynasty, 1523, you have the chariot. So there's a big continuity across the whole of the Asian world of this horse culture and chariot culture. Before that time, with the separation of peoples, everyone was going on foot. And peoples would go apart and become very closely linked into the landscape of their new land. Now, with this emergence of the horse, we begin to have a big intercourse back and forth, almost like the thing that's happening now with the airplane. You know, people who formerly had been separated from each other suddenly come into relationships to each other, so we see big cross-references. And as a result, I would say, the sometimes startling parallels between what we find in the Celtic world and the Chinese world, they really are not too surprising, because there is a back and forth relationship